when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all you Blood River Radio, precious Blood River Radio family members out there. You're listening right now. This is kind of a hybrid Christmas show. Actually, this show is being pre-recorded. We don't like to hide anything because all things in heaven will be noticed, will be made public, will be made known. No secrets. But anyway, this is our pre-recorded hybrid Christmas show, and I want to explain that to what that means because you'll know when we get through. It's not going to be a regular Christmas show because I've really never got into the touchy-feely stuff, even though I'm hardcore Christian. We never put our swords down on this show because you know why? Because Satan and his officer corps, and I borrow that term from Biscuit. The people here on earth that are doing Satan's will, their father, the devil, they are a part of his officer corps, according to Biscuit. So I agree with that. Anyway, people, like I said, this is December the 22nd in 2022, year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2022. And nothing ever changes here. Some things never change on Blood River. We'll always give honor to our Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty, who died. That's why we call it the year of our Lord and Savior 2022. But he died on the cross while we were yet sinners, and he paid the sin debt. So people, you also know on this show that we always, well, let me correct myself. This isn't a show. This is a broadcast. This is part of what I consider the only white civil defense radio broadcast in the United States of America, possibly Europe, all over the world. Well, if you will, bow your heads. We're going to the God in prayer. So if you will, bow your heads, dear people. Almighty God, all Father, maker of heaven and earth, maker of all things that are seen and unseen, who you just spoke the entire universe. You spoke all the elements of the periodic table into existence. And like we've said many times before, but it's still true, you didn't even have to speak it, oh God. All you had to do was think it and will it. And all the elements of the periodic table, all the galaxies, all the meteorites, you name it, would just be formed. And when you said light, let there be light, there was light. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of John the Baptist, the God of Enoch, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of TBC, the God of Liberty News Broadcasting. Wes, who we give honor here, oh Lord, we do come to you, and we ask you right here a few days before we celebrate the birth of your son, your only son, who you sent to earth for one purpose, just to pay the sin debt that we people could not pay. And, you know, we had committed sin, the wages of sin is death. And that the only way out is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we ask you to continue to use Blood River Radio in the way that you see fit. Give us the wisdom to know your will. And most of all, Lord, give us the willpower. Let us want to do your will, Lord. Let us lead the fight. Let us be the spearhead of the fight to save the world's white race against the ever-increasing program of white genocide worldwide. Anyway, Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, I probably didn't say that you're listening to Blood River Radio. I didn't follow my own little notes here. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and I gave the date, and it told you it was a pre-recorded interview. Okay, and also, I got to give you, we always go to the donors. Okay, here we had quite a few this last week. And without people, without donors, there's no way we could ever run this program. Well, there's no way we could ever. I can't believe we're going to 3 hours. Once again, people, this is a quick notice. January the 7th, we'll be going to 3 hours. We'll be coming on an hour earlier than usual. We'll be coming on at 3 p.m. Central, and we'll be going right to the 6 p.m. So that's 3 hours. We'll be going to 3 hours. And we've had some donors here that have really, really, all of our donors are great, have helped us. We have one that's really pushed us hard is Old Biscuit from Florida. He's been instrumental in getting this thing together. And he said that he thought we really need to do it. And I think we do. I mean, it's a lot more work. It's a hell of a lot more work. And sometimes when we get co-hosts to come in here to help out, it's going to be really tough. But anyway, here are our donors. We have Frank White, our old Yankee. He's from up north in the Mason-Dixon line. He's really a good guy. He contributes all the time. We have, and here's a fella who hadn't done it in a while, but when he does, he makes it worth his while. Oh, the Bearded Wonder up yonder in Gallatin, Tennessee. Oh, Rich Hamblin. He's the Bearded Wonder. I rode to Charlottesville with Rich, me and a group of other guys back in, we went to the Battle of Charlottesville back in August of 2017. Yeah, we got baptized under the fire up there. So anyway, thank you so much, Frank, and thank you so much, Rich. Also, we have Jay-Z from AZ. He sent some other money, and he sent a card here. I'm going to read the card in a minute. Jay-Z from AZ, thank you, my brother. Just rock solid. These people are the ones who make this show possible, people I'm reading. Just these are some of them. Sister, and I love these people dearly, Sister Pamela and Brother Dennis of Virginia. And I'm going to try to get my best friend, CW, to put together a trip to go up to see my uncle. Believe it or not, I have a surviving uncle, and he is tough as nails, and he's bumping 100. We're going to try to go up there and see him and go by and see the Adamson. I want to do that before I die. I owe them a trip big time. But thank you so much, Jay-Z, and thank you so much. Also, Jay Scott of South Carolina, of SC. Jay Scott, I'm not going to give your full name because you may not want that known. He's been contributing on a regular basis lately. We just can't do it without these people. Also, Micah from Maryland. Micah from Maryland sent in a donation. Ken, the Big Ben Ken from Lynbrook, New York. Thank you so much. Jim from Washington State. Tony from Ohio. And that pretty well covers. That's a bunch of them, folks. And we could not make it without them. And look, here's some cards. I love reading these cards. Sister Pamela and Brother Dennis sent a Christmas card. It's got a little church. It's got a cross at the top. And when you open it up, she says, Sister Pamela says, Dennis really enjoyed your Blood River Radio Christmas card. Here's what she says too. I love your dedication at the beginning of the show to the one Jesus Christ, Pam and Dennis. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. I really appreciate that. Here is a little quick note. From Jay Scott of South Carolina, he sent his donation. He says, "Thank you very much for your work, Eddie. I appreciate it. I pray to Yahweh that He will use Blood River Radio as a tool for His purpose. Merry Christmas to you and everyone at Blood River Radio." Jay Scott. I'm not going to say his last name. He may not want me to. Here's another card right here. Now, this one here says from Micah of Maryland. He says, "Dear Blood River Radio people." Crew. So happy the boys have 3 hours starting the new year. Thank you so much for the awesome Christmas card and Merry Christmas to all you people at Blood River Radio, Micah. Here's, I always like these cards. Jay-Z from AZ, really colorful. He sent this card. He sent it on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. He says, Dear Eddie, Buddy, you sure give us old guys inspiration. Running 2 marathons within 2 months makes you a medical marvel. Probably a psychiatric marvel. Keep on keeping on, Eddie. He says, thank you for the recent card. The Blood River Radio design is awesome. The black flag, no quarter, etc. And then he goes down here. I'm skipping some of this stuff because he gives, phone numbers and stuff. So he says, Blood River Radio validates my belief that the satanic tribe of Jews is hell-bent on eliminating the white race. I pray our people wake up to realize that voting won't prevent our eventual extinction. Only armed resistance will save us. Anyhow, I'm trying to get in the Christmas spirit, so I'll cut the rant short and put reality on hold for a while. He says, Merry Christmas and a happy 2023 to all the Blood River Radio family. Jim, I'm not going to tell you his last name, Jay-Z from AZ, Blood River Radio Radio Outpost, Arizona. And he said, P.S., I'm closing a modest contribution to keep the lights on. Well, I want to thank all you people again. I can't thank you enough. I'm going to tell you what, it's not the easiest thing in the world to come in here even once a week and do all this work and stuff. Sometimes you get down, just don't want to do it. But I tell myself, how in the hell could I let these people down, man? I just couldn't. They're my brothers and sisters, and they're supplying the ammo, so we'll keep shooting as long as we got ammunition. Well, folks, tonight, before we go any further, we have Gene is off again. He's up there pouring concrete up in Middle Tennessee for the Forest Home. They're having a pour concrete. They're having to hurry up and get it done before the snow hits. And also, Rand is off. He's having to work to get the hay in before the snow hits. But we have Sister Nancy Hitt on tonight. And we also have my big sister, Nancy Hitt, and my little sister, Monica Schaefer. And folks, we're getting ready to a quick break. Before we do, I'm going to cram this in. We're going to run a long video, audio. You've got to hear it. It's solid gold. It's from a great Catholic priest. He was a Catholic priest before Vatican II, when Catholics were hardcore Christian. And he nails it. If you listen to this 36 second tape, you will get a 1-year college education on who the hell runs the world and why we have all these wars. We'll be right back, folks, after this brief commercial.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we got Sister Nancy Hitt here. She is going to do a very quick summation of biography of Father Charles Cochran, the radio priest. He was huge in the Depression. He had millions of people following. He was probably the most popular radio priest. He pioneered the radio, using radio as a political, you might say, tool, et cetera, et cetera. But if you will listen to this, audio, it's one of the best I've ever heard. There's another one he talks about the Federal Reserve. He's got many, many, many audios because he had a regular radio broadcast back in the 30s until FDR, the FBI, the Jews in the deep state shut him down, the Catholic Church. They forced the Catholic Church to take him off the air. But go ahead, Sister Nancy. Give just a very quick, not too long, a quick summation of his biography.
Yeah, I'll just make it brief for people who are not familiar with him. I remember the name as a young person. Growing up, I heard about Father Coughlin, didn't know what he stood for. But Charles Edward Coughlin was the only child of Irish parents. He was actually born in Canada. He was a Canadian-American Catholic. Most of his work was done out of Detroit. He was born in 1891. He died in 1979 at the age of 88. He was ordained a priest in 1916. What happened was that he started a radio program and became the radio. He was dubbed the radio priest. He was a charismatic populist who started actually in 1926 teaching the catechism over the radio. But by 1930, he started a crusade against communism, and he became the first political leader, I guess Catholic leader, to use radio. And throughout the 30s, he had a weekly broadcast. Tens of millions of people listened to his weekly broadcast. And originally, he was a supporter of FDR's New Deal. But later on, he actually worked against FDR. He was investigated by the FBI due to his so-called anti-Semitic statements, and because he was against the New Deal and he was against the fiscal policies of Roosevelt, and he was actually pretty much pro-German. So by 1942, the FBI, our government, and the Catholic Church had cut him, had stopped his efforts on the radio. He did continue to be a priest, but he was not on the radio after 1942, and that's kind of a short summary of this brave Catholic priest.
Well, here's the big thing that got him in trouble. He did like we do. He named the enemy. He named the Jew. And he singled out the Jew-run economic system in the United States and the world. He nailed him. He nailed the Jew. Every program, he nailed the Federal Reserve, the Jew-controlled world's central banks. And that's what's got his tail in trouble. So if you will, Liz, go ahead and run that tape, sister, little girl. Thank you so much.
The theme of this evening's discourse might well be entitled 20 Years Ago. I have in mind a scene that was enacted in the capital of the United States 20 years ago, Tuesday of this week. As you know, the 6th of April, 20 years ago, fell on Good Friday. Those were days when the entire world found itself in the midst of the worst struggle which ever fell upon civilization. All of Europe was an armed camp. All of Europe was playing for America's participation in the World War. We had just elected a president who went into the White House on the theory that he had kept us out of war. We were feeling, as it were, more or less secure in our isolation across the Atlantic. Nevertheless, a barrage of propaganda was constantly being played upon our ears. Newspapers were carrying stories of the atrocities perpetrated by both the Central Powers and by the Allies. America was growing wealthy in those days because she was extending credit, millions of dollars of credit, billions of dollars of credit. She was manufacturing shells and shrapnel. She was dragging from the bowels of the earth the iron ore, transforming it into submarine steel. America was at the crossroads of prosperity. By 1915, our nation had become the financial agent of Great Britain and France. By 1916, it was evident that no longer could America stay out of the war simply because the Germans and her allies appeared to be on the side of victory. England and France, our creditors, appear to be fighting a losing battle, and with their loss, it was very evident that the billions of dollars which we had extended to them would likewise be lost. About this time, Ambassador Page from London, England, had been communicating constantly with the capital in America. Ambassador Page, worrying more over the security of the private debts extended by privateers to Europe, was absolutely adamant in his decision that America must get into the war. At that time, there was much talk of saving the world for democracy. There was little speculation either in our pages of our papers or over the radio for us to save humanity. Little speculation for us to preserve democracy as we knew it in America. Nevertheless, Ambassador Page sent his last note from London, England, to President Wilson, absolutely demanding, as it were, that America cut all her endeavors at isolation and once and for all enter upon the side of the Allies to save not the world for democracy, but the billions of dollars which American privateers, I repeat, had invested in the war paraphernalia of Europe. I am taking you back tonight on the wings of fancy and of memory to the scene enacted in the Congress of the United States the Thursday of the Lord's Last Supper, the Thursday of the Good Friday which followed 1917. In the House of Representatives, a heated debate had ensued all day long. By a vast majority of votes, it was decided in that House to resolve that America should enter into war against the Central Powers. In the afternoon, the debate had entered upon the floor of the Senate chamber. I see still those old gray hairs, those waving plumes of the elder Robert La Follette. He, for one, believed in George Washington's admonition. He, for one, still believed that America should retain her independence and that America should stay clear entirely of all foreign entanglements. There was another gray-haired gentleman who stoutly held this same view, George Norris of Nebraska. He too cared not what those said to him in the Senate who had disagreed with him. They had called him traitor. They had inferred that he was not loyal and true to his country and to its best advantages. But what of that? Yes, he had a supporter. The Honorable James Reed of Missouri, with watch in hand, stood there gazing upon the clock in the Senate chamber. It was 10 minutes to 12 just before Good Friday. The debate had lasted all day long. Hot words had crossed the floor of the Senate. The word traitor, betrayer, the word painting the United States flag with the sign of the American dollar, such phrases had been cast. Such phrases had been heard, and such phrases had excited the members of the Senate until James Reed, knowing that the cause was lost, stood.
What happened?
Stood up before his colleagues and said,
dear Blood River Radio audience, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Oh, now we're going to go right back to that audio. It's got quite, like we said, quite long. It's a little 26 minutes and 36 seconds, if I remember right. But please listen, if you have time, take notes. It's
listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson.
Please take this storm extremely seriously.
President Biden in the Oval Office warning us all to stay in or take plenty of precautions when traveling as that bomb cyclone continues to blast so much of the USA. As for the science, here's meteorologist Greg Carbon at the National Weather Service.
Low pressure system associated with the blizzard conditions that are expected to evolve across the Great Lakes is starting to intensify over eastern portions of Wisconsin. Now, this system will move into Michigan and then into southern Canada over the next 24 hours.
The snow and blizzard conditions in the Midwest and Northeast morph into just wind and bitter, bitter cold in the south. The storm's done its worst already in the Rockies, where Colorado's major east-west freeway is impassable.
Interstate 70 eastbound from Silverthorne to the Eisenhower Tunnel, currently closed. A number of semis have gotten stuck.
Colorado Department of Transportation spokesman Bob Wilson on that stretch of I-70 about 60 miles west of Denver. Heavy tow trucks are on the scene. If today's your day for a holiday flight, good luck. This woman at Chicago's O'Hare tells CNN she's optimistic.
So far, so good for us. We came early enough to hopefully make it, and hopefully our plane will take off today before, and we'll get out and get to Orlando to see our family.
The website FlightAware counts nearly 1,700 flights canceled and about 2,500 delayed across the USA. No flights home for lawmakers yet. The Senate continues to work on that full-year spending bill. That means right now a long series of votes on amendments. Fallen crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried is set to make his first court appearance in New York today on charges he swindled investors and stole customers' money. And there's word from Brazil that the health of soccer legend Pele has worsened. His cancer's progressed, and he's fighting COVID. He was admitted to a Sao Paulo hospital yesterday. This is USA News.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back. I would I would ask you if you can maybe take notes. You can pull this audio up on YouTube and listen to it yourself. I'm surprised it's still there on YouTube because it really paints a good picture of why the First World War started, and even so, and why the Second World War started. It applies to the Lincoln's War against the South, and even before that, General Napoleon against going all the way back against that great British leader, what was his name, at the Wellington, at the Battle of Waterloo. This is a quick aside. At the Battle of Waterloo, Wellington and the British, they won. They beat Napoleon. Okay, but the Rothschild bankers, they were huge then. The Jewish Rothschild bankers, they had a better intelligence network than the British Empire or the French. They had runners stationed at the English Channel, ready to take the signal. They knew who won the war. They knew that that Napoleon got defeated before the British government knew. And so what they did, old man Amschel Rothschild, outside the Bank of England, he was pacing back and forth. And all of a sudden he went in and he started selling stocks in the Bank of London, the Bank of England. Well, everybody knew he was a guru, so people started selling their stocks. It was a panic sale. Well, when that stock got down to like, you know, 5 cents on the dollar, pennies on the dollar, Amshaw went in and bought, what he literally, he bought the entire Bank of England. And now you hear about the Rothschilds owning the whole world. That's pretty much where it started. And that's what we're talking about with this audio tape. Fast forward from the Battle of Waterloo to the right before the United States got into the First World War. So go ahead, Miss Liz, and you roll that audio if you can.
The members of the Senate, until James Reed, knowing that the cause was lost, stood up before his colleagues and said, "Gentlemen, do you realize what hour this is? Do you recognize what day this is? In 10 minutes, gentlemen, the hour hand of the clock will have struck the tolling hour of Good Friday. In 10 minutes, we will be celebrating the death of the Prince of Peace. And in 10 minutes, gentlemen, you must decide if you are determined that you will enter into war. You must decide before the celebration of the Prince of Peace shall be made a mockery of." Poor Honorable James Reed, silver-haired George Norris, the great Robert La Follette, they were defeated in that vote. And after the hour hand had crossed the mark of 12, when it was early in the morning, almost identical with the hour when Christ had been spending his lurid hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, the United States Senate, careless of the sacrifice made by the Prince of Peace, determined to project America and the flower of its youth into the fields of Flanders and alongside the gory banks of the Marne. Why was this? To keep America safe for democracy? Not at all. Why had this been perpetrated? To save a financial system that had been inadequate to save the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the thoughts of those hours spent in the United States Senate will never be erased from the minds of those of us who witnessed them. Those were the most tragic days, tragic hours, in the history of this nation. So came 1917 and 18. So fled from America more than 2 million young men, unprepared for battle. So crossed the Atlantic more than $50 billion American dollars for the progress of the war. At last Armistice Day came. At last the democratic people of America, who had raised the loud hurrahs to heaven because our flag had been dipped in peace, again raised their clamorous voices because victory had come, because we said the world had been made safe for democracy. Oh, see how foolish we democratic people were in that bygone day. Europe, from the Caspian Sea to the Mediterranean, has turned away from democracy, has lifted up one place the red flag of communism, has massacred its citizens in the name of liberty in Spain, has raised the tricolor of France for the honor and glory of socialism. Italy has gone, so has Germany. The world safe for democracy has become a world safe, safe for radicalism, safe for dictatorship. And what of ourselves? 1918 came, so did 1920 with its panic. Some of you still remember, however, the glorious prosperity that was ours between 1921 and 1929. Those were the days when we had conceived the folly of lending more money to distracted Europe. 12 more billion dollars extended to Europe on American credit so that Europe could purchase from America the wherewithal to begin once more her passage through the streets of Jerusalem, up the steeps of Calvary, to be crucified under the aegis of dictatorship. At last it became evident in 1929 that all the monies which we advanced for the Great World War, that the billions which we had extended for recovery after the World War, would never be returned. I am not saying or inferring that these European nations were Welshers, a word that has been introduced into our vocabulary, but I am saying that after the World War, as well as before it, modern capitalism has been unable to sustain itself, and modern capitalism has been unable to preserve itself today, it lies dying on the threshold of tomorrow. Eventually came 1932. Those things were discussed. It was told that those debts that had been created abroad eventually would come home to rest the burden upon the shoulders of the American taxpayer. It was told that more than $50 billion of those debts could not be washed off with all the sound thinking, with all the logic of sound moneyism, or with all the politicians' favorism that could be brought to bear upon the contingency of the depression that was soon to fall upon it. Nevertheless, my friends, while we recognized in America in 1930 that there was little wrong with our country, while we recognized that its fields were just as fair, that its factories had been multiplied and were capable of producing everything to supply every feasible demand in America, while the ability of our engineers, executives, and the nimble fingers of our workmen were quite capable of producing untold wealth, nevertheless, by 1932, we came to that impasse of witnessing one-third of our population unemployed, the majority of our major production factories closed, our fields running into riot with weeds, our citizens are running into riot with radicalism, simply because there was no purchasing power. There was the wealth, I insist, but there was no available means of transferring wealth from one to the other. Then came March 4th, 1933. At that time, both you and I were thrilled to hear the mellifluous tongue of one pronouncing the words of driving the money changers from the temple. At that time, we stood almost in our second heaven as we thought the day had come when no longer the ordinary taxpayer would be forced to bear the burdens of finance for purposes of destruction. The day would come when we would be quite satisfied to bear the burdens for production. 1933 has melted into 1937. 1937 is here. So are the bonds that were issued to propagate the war of 1914-18. 1937 is here. So are the Liberty bonds still here to haunt us. 1937 is here, and so are the ever-increasing debts created not out of the wealth of the country for purposes of production, but out of the borrowing power of the government from bankers whose institutions had been closed because their vaults were empty. Empty of everything, practically, save a bottle of ink and a fountain pen. And thus, with their fountain pens and their ink, they began writing out checks of billions of dollars. They began issuing these checks to the United States government with little or nothing to back them. The United States government, in turn, began to issue bonds to these bankers for those worthless checks. Bonds that contracted for you and for me to pay in real hard-earned money by the sweat of our brows, not only their capital sum, but their interest, which today I'm...
Dear Blood River Radio audience, I think we've just about run out of time because I hear the music for the break. But listen, before we go, I'll get out as much as I can. If you listen to that audio, we'll break it down when we come back after this break. Be right back, folks.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday. from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
All right, dear Blood River Radio family, listen, I kind of made a little blooper there doing this tape. I thought we were about through, but we're going to go ahead and finish this audio because it is really, really, really important. So go ahead, Miss Liz, roll that tape, if you will, dear.
Amounts well over $50 billion. The money changers were not driven out of the temple. And so 1937 has come upon us. We are still struggling between the extremes of depression and the heights of prosperity. According to the Wall Street markets, we are almost on a par. In our values of stocks and bonds, to the day of 1916 and 1929, according to all reports, the productivity of our major factories has risen and risen until it is almost exceeding what was produced in 1929. According to all verified figures, nevertheless, while the rich can become richer, there are still 8 or 9 million unemployed in this nation. One third of its population is still on the dole, and two thirds of its population is still wondering where the cost of living can meet the purchasing power of the dollar. All you poor laborers and farmers, we have tried time and again to tell you that there can be no resurrection for America until Congress begins to coin and regulate the value of money. We have endeavored to teach you time and again that there can be no coming out of this depression until what you earn goes to sustain your wife and your children. But somehow or other you're satisfied to sustain the wives and children of those who do the coining and regulating of money, who live in their palaces and travel in their yachts. You want that. You voted for that. You have that. And it's time that you take that. Yes, America is troubled today because it well knows it has not emerged from the depression. America is troubled today because it recognizes that there can be no recovery without reform, and America, in its solid hours of intellectual thought, realizes that the reform has not been forthcoming. The Federal Reserve banking system, unable to sustain its member banks in 1933, has been able to build up more than $20 billion of debt money for the United States government, which you will redeem out of your pay envelope, whether you like it or not. These are perilous days for America. We find our president, who had announced as late as last October and early November that America was well nigh out of the depression, we find our president today approaching the microphone crying crisis because he recognizes that he is unable to balance the budget, because he recognizes that the ordinary workmen in America are unable with their slender pay envelopes to meet the cost of living, to pay the invisible taxes, to bear the burden not only of their own families, but the burden of $50 billion of bonds at 3%, which must be paid for. Bonds that were for destructive purposes, not bonds that were for productive purposes. And in the meantime, the epidemic of sit-down strikeism has gone over America. Presidents are silent. Congresses are silent. While this industrial revolution bids fair to cause consternation to even the most level-minded men. Where it will lead, no one knows. We do know this much, that it has gone far beyond the atmosphere of sit-downism as we knew in France. Today, at the Chrysler plant, we know in Detroit how 6,000 men marched in to take possession of it. Out they marched after a few hours, and 6,000 others, not owners of the factory, seized that property because they said there are no laws in America to protect human rights while there are laws to protect financial rights. So then, what of democracy as well as what of capitalism? Oh, capitalism shall never again flourish as once it did. Capitalism has been almost taxed out of existence in an effort to meet the coupons on the bonds, in an effort to meet the dole system that is absolutely unnecessary in a country of our wealth. And democracy? Oh, we who 20 years ago entered a war to fight its battles, to make the world safe for democracy, tonight we stand aghast because its last fortification, its last tower of strength, the Supreme Court of America, who has been the protector of the rights of the poor, who has been the protector of the rights of the rich, who has been the protector of the liberties of all, is now assailed and is now the target for those who blame it for our misdemeanors and who blame it for the depression and the following misery which eventuated from it. Somebody must be blamed, of course, but those in power always forget to blame themselves. They always forget to read the Constitution of the United States of America that says Congress has the power to issue and to regulate the value of money. And blinding their eyes to that as they protect the private issuance of money and the private fixation of money, we are going merrily on our way. Perhaps another ambassador from another foreign capital shall come upon the scene. Perhaps despite the advice of Washington of no foreign entanglements, despite the passage of the Johnson Act, which forbids us to lend money to those who already have borrowed it and who have not returned their loans, perhaps despite those things, some way, some miraculous way shall be found to project America into the next maelstrom, and democracy, once more thinking that it has power within its soul, shall rise up to clap and applaud because the youth of the land is going abroad to make the world safe for what? Safe for dictatorship? Safe against communism abroad when we have communism at home? Safe from socialism in France when we have socialism in America? Or safe for the international bankers? Next Sunday shall be my last Sunday until next October. And in the meantime, I ask you to think seriously of your decisions last November. You have asked for the New Deal that is an ancient deal in all its finance. You have what you asked for. I ask you to abide by your decision. You have been warned 1,000 times. Those who warned you should now bow their heads, even though truth be on their side. You have paid the price, democratic America, and now it is your turn to bear the burden in silence, like men, keeping America safe for democracy.
And dear Blood River Radio family, we're still bearing that burden of debt to keep the world safe for the international Jew, a banker. We're almost out of time for this first hour. It ran longer than I thought. I didn't take into account all the breaks, but so evidently we'll have to continue discussing this audio into the second hour. But before we do, I'm just going to briefly outline what I consider the big points. Father Charles Coughlin could have gone back actually 1,000 years or more, actually, he could have gone back to the time of Jesus. When, you know, the very first time that Jesus Christ ever showed any tendencies of violence is when he took a whip. He took a cat, one of these cat of nine tails, like whips, and he drove the bankers, the same old Jew bankers, out of the temple in Jerusalem. He turned over their money changer tables. He drove out their oxen. They were selling oxen and all kinds of animals. It was money, money, money. Those bankers, those money changers that he drove out of the temple then, in those days, Jesus Christ, the same money changers that made the killing and bought the Bank of England, you know, 1600 years later, 1800 years later, because of the Bank of the Waterloo that they had. That I just got through telling you how the Jew bankers, they knew who won the battle first. And when they thought that when the British thought that their British general had lost the war, created a panic. Okay, fast forward to the Second War. You can fast forward to the war, Lincoln's war against the states. You know, Lincoln said that the Jew bankers behind his back were more dangerous, and he feared more than he feared the Confederate armies. Jefferson Davis, why he did it, I'll never know. He had a Jew. It's always a Jew. It's like David Harry says, it's always Jews all the time. He had a Jew, was a banker for the Confederacy. And when the war ended, nothing happened. He took all his money and hightailed it to England. Okay, fast forward to the First World War when the Jew bankers and the Jew-owned press were spreading all this horrible war atrocity. They called the Huns in World War I. They were baronating children in the beds, baronating children, you know, in the womb. All this horrible stuff. Well, listen, it's all the way to the First World War, on to the Second World War. It's the same thing. And listen, here's how they finance it. This is a quick nutshell. Here's how the Jew bankers finance the wars, how they finance everything. They don't have anything. When Father Coughlin talked about when the banks went bust in the Depression after 1929, they had no money. But that didn't matter to the Jew bankers because they had their pen and their paper. So they issued, which they did, they issued bonds. They lent money to the United States government, to the governments abroad, and they the governments would buy bonds from the international banks. But see, the banks have nothing. This is what they call fiat money. The money that the Federal Reserve prints to this day, even though most of it's electronic, it's not based on anything. They don't have anything of real wealth backing it. I know most of you people, this is just like Ned the First Reader to a lot of our audience. There's no gold. There's no silver. At one time, before we went to the Federal Reserve system in 1913 in this country, you had to have gold in the vaults of places like Fort Knox to back every dollar that was issued. Matter of fact, I still have a $2 gold a $2 silver certificate backed by the United States Treasury. You could go and redeem that for silver. Okay, I'll try to get this in quick. We're almost out. That's what he said. Modern capitalism had failed. Because in modern capitalism, it wouldn't work because the Jew bankers, they ran out of money, and it created a depression because, you know, and the people that were working, there was like what he said, 30 million people out of work. The freshest people that were working were paying such back-breaking taxes. They couldn't continue. They couldn't make enough money to pay the taxes, to pay these Jew bankers back. And listen, people, we're going on to the second hour, and we're going to bring our dear sister Nancy Height in, and we're going to bring dear sister Monica Schaefer in, and I'll hit a few other points on this, and we'll let them take over and dissect the rest of it. Be right back, folks. We're transitioning to the second hour. See you in a few minutes.